want a piece of me?
Do I feel like it? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I am serious. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz baby with you.
I am your father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
What's up, film fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome to episode 289. Welcome to Patch Adams. And welcome to a new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, Juan. I am joined by the cast, crew, the guys. Jay?
Hey, how's it going? You can finally see me.
Zach?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, guys? Been a fun week. Everybody's weather safe out there, hopefully. A little thunderstorm action here in the Midwest. But other than that, how's everybody weekend? Good weekend?
I got day drunk yesterday.
Day drunk on a it was Saturday. It's cool, even if it's a Monday. Day drunk is cool. What about you, Zach? You get wasted?
No, there's a tornado right outside my house, so if I lose connection, I'll be back in here in a minute. So
you get a I know you got popcorn wasted. I bet this weekend went and got saw some movies probably.
Absolutely.
If that's one thing we can hopefully count on Zach for, he's like our he's our reporter out in the field. Yeah. You're the reporter out in the field.
Yep.
You go see see how the theatrical crowds are, whether they're packed, not packed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on-field reporting by Zach. That's how that's going to go. But if you guys did not join us last week, we had a very fun episode. It was one of the funnest episodes I had in a while. We talked all about Clerks. Jay, I think we said it was turning 30 this year.
Yeah, it was, yes.
Ooh, 30th anniversary of Clerks. So if you guys want to go back and listen to that, go back and check out that episode in the archives, anywhere you listen to podcasts at. It's also all on the social media. You can find the links to our episodes all on the social media, facebook.com/TheCinnamonMoviePodcast. The Instagram is all one word, The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. X, formerly known as Twitter, is at cinnamon405. And then the email is cinemen921@gmail.com. So let's dig right into it, though. Zach, we'll start with you. On field reporting from the movie theater, did you check anything out this week? And if so, what do you want to recommend?
Rewatched Godzilla vs. Kong to get ready for next weekend out in the field, Godzilla times Kong. Went and saw Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. It's a fun movie. Real fun. Had a lot of good throwbacks. It's a much more serious tone than the other Ghostbusters, which I actually liked. I think, truthfully, I do like Afterlife a little bit more, honestly, just because it's not as a nostalgic fest for everybody. But I still go check it out. And breaking news, you guys will be surprised. I am 2 seasons in to The Office.
All right. There we go.
So,
where'd you find that at?
So, Amazon. Got the whole, actually, it's a very nice Blu-ray collector set and all the
I got that
individually. So
nice. I need to find that. So, I found it. So, you paid over $100 for it then on Amazon, right?
About 80 bucks. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, they price match. I was gonna say walmart.com has it for 80.
Yeah,
so that's good.
I got it for a birthday gift a couple years ago.
Nice.
So yeah, Godzilla versus Kong, the first one is on Max right now. Check out The Office. Like I said, it's I'm getting into it, Jay. So it's something that for people that diehard fans, I'm starting to understand it. But for people outside the box, I'm okay, I kind of get the quirks and the Dwight speech episode where Jim kind of tells him to do Hitler and Mussolini stuff at the convention. And he's a Reagan success. I thought that was I was dying laughing on that. So
that's good stuff.
There's plenty more laughs coming up for you.
yeah, I'm sure.
Speaking of Zach, you were talking about Godzilla. I wanted to bring this to you guys' attention. I was at Walmart the other day, and I've kind of like noticed that the new Godzilla film has some spoilers if you just go down the toy aisle at your local Walmart or toy store. And I'm kind of like, man,
I'm trying to avoid all that. So
yeah, like I, you know, and it shows the monster and it shows like some other stuff and everything that they probably have to battle that's not in the trailer. And I'm like, Jay, I was going to ask you this. Yeah. I was like, has it always kind of been like that? Like, especially like maybe growing up and seeing like some stuff back in the early 90s, or is it just recently where they're like starting to just throw all these toys out months and months before the, even the trailer hits?
They've had toys out forever that that spoiled it. Hell, the trailer for Terminator 2 spoiled the hell out of the whole movie. You know, if you're just sitting down and watch the movie, you never knew that, you know, Arnold was the good guy. But if you watched the trailer, you knew.
Mm-hmm.
They've been giving shit away in trailers for years. And toys, Legos, the Lego sets that's where a lot of spoilers have come from.
Yeah,
kind of made me wonder, like, man, all these, you know, these toys. I kind of noticed it too, like earlier in the day with like some of the Marvel movies and the Marvel toys would spoil like even like an end credit scene. So I was like, man, that's kind of.
But I know what you're talking about. Like at Walmart, they have like the big display of the Godzilla Kong toys, and you see Godzilla and Kong, but like you said, they have other things that they're probably going to be battling in the movies. And I'm like, what?
Yep.
Why wouldn't you just save that until after the movie's out?
Yep. Jay, let's start with you, or what else, you know, continue with you. Do you have anything that you want to recently talk about or recommend?
I'm on season 7 of The Office, the season where Michael leaves. It's going to be a bittersweet season. So him leaving is sad as fuck.
Oof.
And then I sit there and watch 3 of the 4 Daniel Craig Bond movies.
Mm.
I've seen them a long time ago, but now that they're all 4 out and they're complete, it's like, all right, I'll sit down and give them a watch. Skyfall was pretty decent. Yeah. They're all pretty good. I won't lie. I'm not a big James Bond fan, but they were all pretty decent, you know. They had a pattern.
You're up to Skyfall, or did you watch Spectre?
I need to finish Skyfall because I watched it once. I dozed off, so I'm kind of like, okay, I need to rewatch. So.
Yeah.
And then I started watching a League of Battle Angel today, and I threw on the Marvels, but I fell asleep watching Marvels. So I was like, well, there's my view. It was boring as shit.
The Marvels?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of rough.
What about you? What did you watch this week?
So I wanted to bring this to you guys' attention. Everybody's been talking about it. Doesn't matter if I'm at work, social media, everybody's talking about Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, which is the documentary about Dan Schneider and, you know, all the dark shit that went on with Nickelodeon back in the day. And oh my God, like has anybody seen or watched any of this or heard about any of it?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it myself. I've heard of some Dan Schneider stories about how, you know, he has a big foot fetish.
Yep.
And he would make the kids on Facebook and Twitter take pictures of your feet and send them to me. And he'd give the stars foot rubs and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like,
so there's
13-year-old girl getting a foot rub from him.
So
what's it streaming on?
It's on Max.
Oh, it's on Max. Okay.
It's only a 4-part documentary series. Each episode is like 30 to 45 minutes. And it's insane. It talks about Drake Bell's like incident where he was molested by Josh Peck's dad, and like it talks about how it's insane. It talks about how, you know, there's numerous camera shots of Ariana Grande like pouring water on herself for a Nickelodeon show. It talks about Jamie Lynn Spears getting the Nickelodeon gook thrown onto her face and it looking a certain way. It is completely disturbing. It makes you like, just like, you know, growing up watching all these Nickelodeon shows, it's like, man, this is the guy who was in charge of all of our stuff that we were watching. And it's insane.
He had to handle a lot of it.
Yeah. It's insane. And it goes from like, you know, all that, the cast of all that. I think it's even got greenlit for a season 2, and they're trying to bring like even more people brought up to it. I think it even teases about how Amanda Bynes, either Amanda Bynes or Jamie Lynn Spears, was like impregnated at 13.
That was Jamie. I think it was Jamie Lynn Spears. The father of her kid is Dan Snyder and everything? Yeah. That's the rumor.
Mm-hmm. And she was forced to get a
abortion.
Insane stuff. But yeah, it's on the HBO Max. So if there's anything I could probably recommend,
to sit there and give you some decent shit.
They ruined the childhood for sure. But then you know what? On a lighter note, I also checked out Clerks 2 and Mallrats. And after last week's episode, I was like, let me just dig into some more Kevin Smith stuff. And I didn't know. I thought I had Clerks 2. I had it on Vudu, but I guess I didn't have it physical media, so I went and bought it for like $8 on Amazon. So Clerks 2 is just a hilarious laugh. Zach, I think you would appreciate the conversation they have in there about Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. I forgot how funny
I've heard. I've seen that, yeah.
You know, and looking back at it, like some of the stuff Randall says in Clerks 2, I'm like, could they get away with some of the stuff today?
I was gonna ask. Do you think Clerks could be made today? Well, they came out with the third one, didn't they?
Yeah, Clerks one, very possible. Clerks 2, I don't know, man. There's a sex donkey show in that. Randall brings up porch monkeys, and he's bringing it back. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I don't think Clerks 2 can, which is crazy because Clerks 2 is like 06.
Oh, yeah, 06 or 07.
Yeah, but
I went and seen it in theaters, there was a guy that brought his three kids, and the oldest one probably was only like 11 or 12, and they were laughing at some of the jokes that they should not be laughing at. And by the end of the movie, they were running up and down the stairs.
Other than that, it was kind of a slow week. You know, I've been going through a bunch of WrestleManias for the simple fact that on the Friday Sports Breakers episode, the Friday before WrestleMania, so that's going to be what, Friday, March the 5th, I think we're going to rank our top five WrestleMania shows on that day. So I've been going through April 5th. We'll talk about our top five WrestleManias that day. So I've been going through a bunch of those on Peacock.
Speaking of WrestleManias, I watched WrestleMania 39, Night 1 and 2. I didn't watch the main event yet of Night 2, but a lot better than I thought it was.
Is that the first time you've seen it?
No, I've seen it before. It's just
rewatch.
I haven't seen it since it came out. So
there's been a few of those, but yeah, that'll be a fun topic of conversation.
It's gonna be a hard topic.
That entire show, it might be a little lengthy. Usually our sports episodes have been running about an hour. Friday, April 5th, that anything goes for that day, because we're talking that entire sports episode is dedicated to WrestleMania. So it should be pretty fun. But other than that, I think Mallrats was a good rewatch. Clerks 2, go check out Quiet on the Set. That's what I would recommend. It's on Max if you want to go check that out. So.
Johnny, I sent you the little teaser for the Penguin, the new HBO, the Max show. Mm-hmm. What do you think about it?
I'm excited.
I think it was cool. Yeah.
Especially now that the Batman 2 got delayed again. Mm-hmm. So now it doesn't come out till October 26th, I think. Yeah.
Ugh. Did anybody see the Beetlejuice trailer?
The teaser.
Yeah, it looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the screenshot of the family from underneath, or from the low camera shot of the family. I thought that was pretty good. You know, I just hope they do it justice. At least the director's back. You know, at least everybody's coming back for it.
Hey, so. At least it's not Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian like they've always planned to do. Seriously, that was the plan for years, to do Beetlejuice Goes to Hawaii.
Didn't they do the Isn't that an animated TV series too? Like
they did a show, yeah.
They did like a 39 or 40 episode season. I've seen quite a bit of them. They're pretty good. It's Lydia and him going on different adventures in the afterlife.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
We haven't done the first BLGs, have we?
No.
I don't think so. No.
Nope. It'd be a fun little topic, though. But let's get into today's topic. We're talking about Patch Adams. IMDb currently has it at a 6.8. Rotten Tomatoes is at 21%. The Metascore is at 26%. with a December 25th, 1998 release date. The budget was anywhere between $60 and $70 million, and it grossed a little over $202 million at the box office. The true story of a heroic man, Hunter Patch Adams, determined to become a medical doctor because he enjoys helping people. He ventured where no doctor had ventured before, using his humor, starring Robin Williams, Daniel London, Monica Potter, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Bob Gunton, directed by Tom Shattuck.
Shattuck.
There we go.
He directed, I think he directed one of the Austin Powers. Or not Austin Powers, one of the Ace Venturas.
Yeah, he's directed a lot of Jim Carrey movies, Ace Ventura, Liar Liar, Bruce Almighty. So.
Oh, wow. He also did The Nutty Professor. The first. So somewhat of a.
The first one, yeah.
So let's dig into it, guys. We'll start with you, Zach. Do you remember the first time you've seen this movie? If so, what was that like compared to the rewatch?
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest. I honestly don't remember the first time I saw it completely. I just remember clips from the movie, like when he's entertaining the cancer kids or the old lady taking a bath in the spaghetti, like just little tidbits here and there. I do remember this movie being on like maybe monthly, every other month on NBC, like Sunday movie night or whatever. And then Circuit City, you remember Circuit City as like the competitive Best Buy? They always had like Best Buy. They used to have like their little Black Friday sales. I got the DVD for like $3 or whatever. So it'd been a while since I'd seen it, and I rewatched it a week or two ago, and I like it. Like I said, it's been forever since I've seen it, but I couldn't remember like exactly how the story went. It was a really interesting watch, and I think if Robin Williams wasn't in this, I don't know if this would be as a good of a movie as it probably should be. So,
go ahead, Jay.
I found it to be a by the numbers 90s autobiography, basically. It was too. So I see why it has the results that it does. I didn't laugh very much as I normally would through a Robin Williams movie. You know, they're, you know, it's like, how in the hell do you make, you know, people being sick and him making them laugh? How do you make that funny?
Mm-hmm.
But they tried their best, and they did their damnedest.
They did. The first time I watched this, I think I was like real, probably young, but I'm in this kind of the same boat. I rewatched it today, and I felt more discomfort and sadness than I did, you know, the ability to laugh. Don't get me wrong, I laughed at some scenes, but probably not as much as maybe the film intended you to.
Is it because of what happened to Robin Williams himself, or is it just that the movie itself was not very funny this time?
That's true. Let's dig into it, because we can go ahead and start. I think that's very, very true, Jay. I think the reason is probably because of what happened to Robin Williams in real life, and also maybe because of how the movie starts off with him being super depressed, with him trying to commit suicide, and then himself admitting himself into the psych ward. I think that has a lot to do with it. So what do you guys take on that opening, you know, sequence where he's admitting himself?
I didn't really look at it through that lens of like what happened to Robin Williams is like it impacted my viewing of this. I do think, you know, we'll get into it a little bit as we go through the show, but you know, I do work in the medical field, so I get a lot of the different aspects of what Hunter Adams was trying to do during this time of in the medical world. His self-admittance to the mental hospital is interesting. Off a side tangent, Robin Williams, Philip Seymour Hoffman, which we'll talk about here in a minute, and then the actor who plays his roommate that was afraid of the squirrels. All those actors are now deceased. And so I was just like, damn, we're just like, all these different actors are just like gone. And just like, this is quite interesting looking, you know, forward, looking at this in different eyes. But the actual mental institution sequence itself, I enjoyed it. I agree with you, Jay. This movie is a lot more darker than I initially remember it being. But it really set the stage for his character arc throughout the film.
was
pretty dark. Yeah.
But how do you go from being a suicidal person and that trying to be funny at the same time? You know, that that was where I kind of get lost in the movie. Like, you know, he's suicidal, but he's in the room with Rudy and he's shooting imaginary squirrels and shit with him, and I'm just like, all right, this dude's nuts.
Yeah.
It's not suicidal. Yeah, he's nuts.
It definitely takes the focus off of the comedy, and like you're kind of like, is the comedy too much for a film that's kind of being, you know, supposed to be, feels like it's supposed to be serious, and he wants to take something that is so serious about making people, you know, take their mind off of being sick, to where like the doctors look at them as like almost a product. You know, they got an expiration date. They're a product. This is what they need to get better. To where Robin Williams is like, okay, this product has a name, and let's try to make them feel a little bit more comfortable. So,
yeah, I'm sure you know my story a little bit there, Juan. I grew up, and my little brother had cancer, and so I spent a ton of time in the hospital, tons and tons of time in the hospital, and it's not a very fun place. No. You know, they had Super Nintendo. Yeah, we had Super Nintendo to play, but other than that, it was just depression after depression. And so I can see why he wants to make people laugh, because the hospital can be such a depressing place.
No, I was just gonna say, I think one of the through line through this film, and really the line in the movie that really sums it up perfectly, is we can't just treat the physical aspect of the patient. We got to treat the spirit. We treat the spirit and the physical, then there's better outcomes to what their situation is. Unlike, but there are some, like Peter Coyote's character, I think he has end stage or terminal cancer. He's a complete asshole to everybody.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. So that sequence, he tries his best to.
That was probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie, was just the cockiness of Robin Williams' character, you know, him being cocky back to him, you're like, and just naming ways to die that, you know, that we can sit there and say, you know, this is how you died, you know, your bottoms up, you know, whatever, and all that shit.
When he dressed up as the angel.
Bought the farm. Yeah, when he bought the farm. And I guess whatever works to make people laugh, right?
Yeah,
the guy with the stage 4 pancreatic cancer, room 305. That was pretty deep. What'd you guys think of the set characters, though? You know, not only the actors portraying the characters, but just the characters themselves. Truman, Karen, or that's not how you pronounce her name. What is it?
No.
Corn. I think it was Corn.
Corn.
Corn or Karen.
Mitch, played by the great Philip Seymour Hoffman. And this is early Philip Seymour Hoffman, too.
Yeah. Just
got done with Twister. My probably biggest praise for this movie is the scene where Robin Williams finds out that somebody snitched on him, or not really snitched because it's not true, but somebody brings it up to the dean. You know, mindset that, hey, he's probably cheating. He never gets to, he never studies. And that's Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, Mitch. So Robin Williams gets pissed and he goes in there and approaches him and confronts him. Can we just praise Philip Seymour Hoffman for that one scene where he's, you know, telling him how serious this is, that this isn't a game, this is serious to him, and he's shaking and he's just so into that character in that scene. Philip Seymour Hoffman is just unbelievable in this movie.
There's a lot of paint by numbers to this movie. Like I said, it's your normal 90s run of the mill by the numbers movie, because he's got the villain and the dean, and he's got a secondary villain of Philip Seymour Hoffman. You know, it's, you know, what are they going to take away from Patch next? You know, just give Patch a try, give him a chance.
Excuse me, but that's one of the big highlights of this movie for me was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He was doing some serious stuff before he was taken seriously. Believe it or not, that was way before he was taken seriously as an actor.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Patch Adams was the one that did it for him or not, but
Well, and this was like years and years even before he won his Oscar. So it's just like, I mean, this guy, and that's the thing. I don't know when we're going to talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman again, but I mean, he, that guy, like he, any movie he was in, like it brought it to a whole new level, honestly. Whether
he disappeared in every role he was in.
Adam, yeah. Even something like Red Dragon, where he played like the reporter. It was just one of those things, just like, oh yeah, he's in that. And it was also like one of those actors that he shows up as like, oh, I didn't know he was in this. And like, it kind of makes you a little bit more excited for what comes next.
Yeah, I watched the previous Hunger Games after watching the newest one, and I forgot that he was in it. And I thought he didn't phone it in at all. He brought it.
No.
So I was like, very nice.
You know, and here in a few weeks, we're going to be talking about another Twister actor with Bill Paxton, since he's in
Lies.
In True Lies. Mm-hmm. So,
the man has he has the honor of being killed by a predator, an alien, and a Terminator. He's one of the very few actors in Hollywood. Seriously.
Yep.
That's what happens when you're friends with James Cameron.
You die in every single one of his movies. Yeah.
What'd you guys think of Monica Potter in this movie?
I thought she was good.
I thought she was on the same level as Robin Williams. Like, you really in the beginning, you just despise her. But the more you kind of peel back her character, you understand, like, the trauma that she goes through and why she's such a hard ass of trying to be, like, I got to be on top of my A game in order to survive in this world.
Well, that's just how women, like she says in the movie, you know, there's 8 women here. And yeah. I have to do double duty on trying to, you know, to study and jam pack my life with this stuff where they ain't going to sit there and let me do anything because I am a woman.
Exactly.
So,
I did some peeling back of the actual, like, Patch Adams character, and like,
he's still alive, believe it or not.
But so I kind of wanted to raise some flags. So, like, man, his theory of the hospital is still not done and built yet. And I started peeling back some layers and actually digging in into the actual guy and the doctor. And he does so many, like, public speakings. He takes so many donations, and so much money has been donated to his vision of a hospital. But yet the actual hospital itself is not up. You know, he still has his little campsite in West Virginia, but he's gathered so many millions of dollars and the hospital's still not up yet. So online, you know, whether it be like Reddit, stuff like that, people are kind of now throwing him under the bus, saying how much of a fraud he is because he'll take other people's money to donate up this hospital, but he won't put any of his money to donate to put up for the hospital either. And here we are in 2024 and the hospital's still not up yet. So,
He started this in 72.
Yeah, it's you know, most of it got kicked off in the 70s. The movie is portrayed to be in the 60s, supposedly. And I'm like, man, is he just, you know, a lot of people online calling him a fraud, a phony, a fake, that he's just gathering up all this money and now this hospital's still not even up yet. And it's quite possible. He dislikes the movie. He hates the movie. Yeah, he hates the movie. The movie studio said that they would donate and help him put up the hospital, but he never saw a dime from the movie, he says, and that's why he says he hates the movie.
That's hysterical, because when you watch the bonus features on the Blu-ray or the DVD, he's in the documentary making of the movie. Yep. So,
see, I watched it through a streaming site, so I didn't get that lovely little bonus footage. I like watching that type of stuff. I would have watched it just for the interesting stuff to see, because it would probably would have helped add to the movie for me.
You know, he's went publicly stating that he adores Robin Williams, but Robin Williams made like $21 million for this movie and didn't donate 10 cents to his fund to build the hospital. So after reading some stuff about Patch Adams, the actual Patch Adams, it makes it seem like he's just an old bitter person because the movie didn't, or Robin Williams didn't donate anything to his hospital. But here we are, the movie's been out since 98 and his hospital's still not up. So it's like, dude, what are you doing with all this money you've gathered?
Yeah, that's true. Well, and the funny thing is I'm looking at this right now, and the darkest element of this movie is obviously, well, in my opinion, was when Karen gets murdered by one of the deranged patients.
I know. I was sitting there.
That did happen, but it wasn't a woman. Dark. It was a man. It was a man. It was one of his closest friends, but it wasn't a woman. It was a man that got killed. So they just flipped it for dramatic purposes.
That was a dark thing, though.
Yeah, it was. Here it is trying to be a comedy to make people laugh and everything, and then they're like, we're going to murder one of the characters. I know it happened in real life, but you know what? We'll do it anyways.
Yeah. I just, you know, I agree with what you're saying, Jay, about it's a very by-the-numbers biography, a biopic-type film. But, I mean, what'd you say that it was like 21% on Rotten Tomatoes? It's not that bad.
21% on Rotten Tomatoes. 26 out of 100 Metascore rating.
No, I just find it. No, that's horseshit right there. It's at least a, you know, higher than that. In the
50s, 60s.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll go 65%. Shit.
Doing
some reading of this, I was surprised with how. And those are just the critic scores. I think the fan, you know, those are just critics on Rotten Tomatoes scores. You know how they have the fan and the critic? I think the fan score is much higher than that.
Yeah, the fan score is 73%, which is like, okay, that makes more sense, honestly. Yeah.
But, you know, that's why fuck Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to know if something's good if you don't go to Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Exactly. Was there anything hokey or just not I don't want to use the word cringy, but just like it was like it's too built up for emotional effect and didn't work really well in this viewing? Anything that stands out or anything like that?
Man, I'm kind of glad. Oh, go ahead.
I just found the part where he becomes that clown with the nose and when the kids ward and does his first bit with them. I kind of found it cringy.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's just because I watched the Dan Schneider documentary, but yeah.
Don't mix this two up. Do not mix those two up.
I would have to agree with Jay. Oh, we lost Zach. That offended him so much he left. I would have to agree with Jay. I kind of thought some of the stuff he was doing with the kids, not the dark side of what could have been, but just the interaction with the kids, because you know they used real sick kids, so the action was genuine, which was a good thing. But I kind of felt like since they actually used real sick kids and not maybe actors, maybe that was why a little bit of it was cringy for me. The other scene was where at the end in the trial period of the movie, where Robin Williams is trying to defend himself, I kind of felt like I'm not going to say his acting chops, because he's one of the best comedians of all time, but I just didn't believe him as a serious actor right there in that time when he was explaining what he wanted to be, he wanted to be a doctor. Like his,
and it was also really hokey and cringy when his patients come in and were like, we got you, Patch. And I'm just like, oh gosh.
So yeah. I didn't.
This is what passed for hype comedy back in the day.
No, I did like when he was like, you know, your nurses, respect your nurses. When he was saying stuff like that, I enjoyed. But when he turned back around and was talking to the board, I was kind of like twiddling my thumbs. I felt like I could even have fast forward it just to move along faster. That's another thing. This movie's 2 hours. I don't think it needed to be 2 hours. I think you could have trimmed about 20 minutes somewhere off of this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely long, overbloated.
I the cancer kid one scene is that's just a little, I'm not saying your critique of it is bad. That to me is like, I've personally been in that situation. I've talked about that on the show multiple times. And so I get it. The idea that you're in this drab, boring place and someone comes in and lightens your day, that can go a long, long way. If you're having a rough day. The one that really got to me was after Karen's death and he sees like the butterfly. He's about to commit suicide. This movie keeps playing with this idea all throughout. He's going to commit suicide because after his Karen got murdered and like the butterfly lands on his backpack or whatever, or his briefcase. And I was just like, okay, so we're doing that. hokey thing where it's just like that's what saves him from taking his own life.
She's that still with me.
Really cringy. Oh. Yeah, that was the only cringy thing.
Corinne's still here. Look, it's a butterfly, guys. I can't kill myself because of a butterfly.
Don't get me wrong. There's definitely some better Robin Williams movies out there and definitely some better parts where he's more of a serious actor and a better, you know. But, I mean, I don't know.
Before we went live, we were talking about a couple of his other ones like One Hour Photo.
Oh, yeah.
Where he plays.
We got to talk about that one day.
Insomnia.
There's a scene in that movie where he's talking to the little kid. And he stands apart from the kid. And as soon as the kid starts to trust him, he gets close to the kid. And he then starts to be close with the kid. I'm like, holy shit, man. That was some incredible acting.
I even brought up Jumanji to where, you know, it's comedy. But there's some dark parts of Robin Williams in that movie to where I think he's better in Jumanji than he is in Patch Adams.
Agreed.
For
some reasons. I don't know why Patch Adams to me on this rewatch just... Not the movie or the story itself, but just Robin Williams himself portraying that character just was like, just didn't seem believable to me.
Hey, when you can get Robin Williams to do your movie, you'll take it whatever Robin Williams you can get.
That's true.
Yeah. And I agree. I definitely agree with you guys. I think I like his performance in this, but it's nowhere near like 1 hour photo or even Insomnia, which a lot of people don't know. That's a Christopher Nolan movie, like one of his early ones.
Yep.
And so I agree with you, Jay. It's like you get Robin Williams, so you don't know which Robin Williams you're going to get. He could be like when we talked about Good Will Hunting, where he can be the funny Robin Williams, but at the same time, he can be the very serious stoic. God damn, that's an Oscar winning performance, Robin Williams. So it's just, this one was kind of like it wasn't on par with what we know he can do. So
that's why I said it's a 90s by the number movie.
Yeah,
because like the Dean has it out for him. It's like, come on, man.
But I do like that scene right before the trial where he confronts the Dean and says, "Why are you being a prick the entire time?" And at the end of the day, the Dean really he just thinks he's above him. That's really what it comes down to. It's just
he's like above everyone he feels.
Yeah. You don't deserve to be here. You have no right to be here. It's just like, yeah, but I tested off the charts with all your classes. Like, who are you to tell me what I can and cannot do?
What's the name of that actor? He plays a good dickhead. Bob Gunton. In every movie he does.
Yeah, he was always the dickhead in the movies.
Yep. Shawshank Redemption. Yeah.
Oh, he was a ward in that, wasn't he?
Yep, that's where I know him from. Yeah. He was a dickhead in that too.
Yeah.
It's not typecast.
This in the same year Robin Williams did Patch Adams, he also did What Dreams May Come. Have you ever seen that?
Ooh. I've seen it, but it's been so long.
I just watched that movie a few months ago, and golly, you talk about depressing. Another movie to do with suicidal thoughts.
Doesn't his wife like kill herself or something like that? And he goes,
yeah.
Doesn't he die? And he goes and looks for her in the afterlife.
Yeah. Another movie to do with suicidal thoughts. Another movie to do with just heaven and hell. That movie is out there and it's so wicked. I think that would be another movie to talk about just because of how different the elements are in every single Cuba Gooding Jr. is in that movie. He plays like an angel, I think almost. And,
ironic.
Yeah. Very, very strange. But
I've never seen that, so that'd be a good...
Is that streaming on anything, Zach?
Let me look. The next year, he had Bicentennial Man. Oh,
Bicentennial God. Man was a good one. I actually liked that one. That was a guilty pleasure. Even though it's predictable as all shit, it was still...
Like Flubber, I think, is a...
Flubber was the year before. No, it's not streaming anywhere. Damn it.
I might have to just get that on Vudu, and we'll have to check that out. Because What Dreams May Come is it's an insane movie. So,
it was one of the ones I was thinking about while I was watching this, you know, where he goes dramatic. But I didn't realize he did this and Patch Adams and What Dreams May Come in the same year, though. I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, this one got a lot more critical reception, actually, even though it was a box office bomb. So that's interesting.
But $201 million for 98 money, that was a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So Patch Adam was was a hit. So
yeah, in 2002, listen to this. He did One Hour Photo, which we've talked about doing. Death to Smoochie, which I've heard is like a very cult classic type film.
It's a weird ass movie about a kid's cartoon or a kid's show.
Edward Norton's in that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's very weird.
Yeah, he did One Hour Photo, Death of Smoochie, and Insomnia, all in 2002. Wow.
And then the ending is definitely just so 90s cliche. You know, they dunk the lady in the spaghetti. He gets his, you know, you can finish school to become a doctor. Then he graduates and, you know, obviously Robin Williams doesn't wear anything under the graduation gown. And then it has the very 90s throw of pausing, and then it reads off what happened in the near future to him. So that being said, before we get into maybe some favorite scenes, I think we kind of already talked about it, but if there is a scene you guys could cut, what would you cut?
Honestly, I think we probably could have skipped the mental institution stuff and just jump right into where he's in medical school. And he just kind of, he talks about a dialogue. It would cut, like you said, Johnny, maybe 10, 15 minutes off the movie.
He could be having a conversation with one of the other characters and be like, you know how I got here? Basically, I wanted to kill myself and I found the way to heal people through my pain. So that would have been a lot easier than showing
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Probably if I had to pick a favorite scene, I really enjoyed the dialogue between the humor versus medical practice and just what that represents. What does that look like? How can we help? Not just saying, hey, you got cancer. Good luck here. You got 6 months to live. Bye. You know, how can we make the process and the experience a little bit more bearable, essentially? And then with a patient, what was it? Room 305 or something?
305, yes. 305.
Where he talks about all the different ways of dying.
That was one of my favorite scenes right there. Is, you know, just bite the big one, bite the bullet.
So, what about you, Johnny? Favorite scene?
If I had to name a favorite scene, it would probably be, the scene where he approaches Philip Seymour Hoffman and
that is a good one
about cheating, and Philip Seymour Hoffman just goes off on him. The other one would probably be Bill's death, where Robin Williams is trying to make the passing go. And also, like, he, you know, tries to make it a funny situation where he's like, hey, you know, she's not so bad either. After you go, I might take a shot at her. Stuff like that. I thought that was pretty good. But also, I want to flip this around. Also, if I had to pick a bad scene, it would also be Bill's death, because it was so cringy when Bill actually died. I'm like, are you serious right now?
Hey, that's how you do a powerful death in a comedy.
Man. It
in the 90s, you do, yeah.
Yeah, it had me going for a minute, and then, for some reason, too, I want to be like, man, the guy who plays Bill looks like John Turturro, but that wasn't John Turturro.
No.
Could you imagine if that was, though?
Been a lot better death scene.
Yeah. That's another guy.
He does his character from The Big Lebowski in that scene.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know when we'll talk about him next. He's not even in this movie, and I really want to talk about John Turturro one day. But... did everybody else name their favorite scenes?
We did.
Yeah. We did. Okay, my bad.
We did while you were away for a moment.
Let's dig into the star rating. So looking at the IMDb score and the Rotten Tomatoes score, I'm like, man, this really can't be that bad, can it? So after watching it and, you know, hearing everybody's opinion, I'm kind of excited to see the star rating. So I'm going to hurry up and get it off my chest. I'm going to give this movie a 6. A 6 out of 10. I think it's, you know, it's not classic Robin Williams, but it's there. And I think he's so good at what he does. Even something that's just maybe subpar can still be watchable. And I think a 6 is watchable. So, and I'm solely basing this off of like rewatchability. Like, I don't think this will be in my top 10 Robin Williams movies to sit down and just watch. So that's why I'm giving this a mid-level grade at a 6.
Jay, I'll go 5 points higher and give it a 6.5. I just found it to be too cringy in moments, the comedy too forced in some areas, and too by the books, like I said, by the numbers. So,
yeah.
6.5. Zach?
So originally I'd given this an 8 because I don't know. I just really enjoyed this watch since, you know, I hadn't seen it in a while. It was kind of fresh and new, you know. Talking with you guys, I'm going to drop it down to a 7. That feels more appropriate, honestly. It might be top 10 Robin Williams, but probably in the lower tier, like 10 or 9, whatever. But it's definitely one that, like, when I think of Robin Williams, that's, like, one of the first ones that come to mind. So I kind of basing it off that.
Oh, anytime I think of Robin Williams, Miss Doubtfire comes to mind instantly.
Yeah. That's true.
A movie where he's dramatic and funny, yeah, all in one movie. You know, you're playing a divorced dad. I've been through that. I know how that feels.
He has a if you ever get a chance, go on YouTube and look up Ron Williams talking about Mrs. Doubtfire. He tells a story about he got all dressed up in the outfit and he went to a sex shop in New York. And it's classic Ron Williams.
His Broadway special that he done, Robin Williams on Broadway, it was a comedy special. Check that out.
Man. Yeah, absolutely. You can find that on YouTube.
He tells a good joke about eating a woman out, and he uses his hairy arms. He's like, yes. That's what a woman sees when you're eating her out. That's what a woman sees is this.
Those were
HBO
specials. I wonder if any of those are on Max.
You can watch them all on YouTube. His Life from the Met, Live on Broadway, and Weapons of Self-Destruction Tour are on YouTube.
Oh, I like when he talks about his cocaine use. He's very hilarious telling about his cocaine use.
Nice. But yeah, that's a good checkout too. So I hope we did everybody justice on Patch Adams. You know, I think a 6.8 and a 7. I hope those still aren't, you know, those aren't bad scores. So if I could talk somebody into going and watching it, I still think you guys could go check it out and watch it. So
I think we universally agree that it's a lot better than 21%. So
oh yeah, it's at least a 60% movie.
Yeah.
How would we be able to do Patch Adams justice at least?
Talking about it on the show. Have people go watch it.
Poor Patch Adams.
But Nick, what do we got going on next week, Johnny?
Next week, on a Sunday, we're talking about Friday. Friday on a Sunday. Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, 1995.
Is a classic.
Man, I'm telling you, I thoroughly remember this movie in different limelights of my childhood, also / like adulthood. I think I've only seen this movie once before. Before I was a teenager, I think I've only seen it once. But since I started working at FYE and just started gathering into the movies, it's definitely one that's a seasonal watch. But honestly, I haven't watched it in like a few years now. So did you go out and get it just for this episode?
Yeah, I rented it from the library. So never seen it this week. First time watch.
Oh, it is hilarious. I like Friday After Next. It's the last one they made, or Next Friday, whatever the hell it's called. We're going to Santa Claus. Yeah, the one with Santa Claus in it.
Yeah. So, Zach, first time watch.
I've heard good things. I've heard the first one's the best, and then the other two are mixed, depending on who you talk to.
Second and third one are... They're still good to me.
They're just as funny. It's one of those. It's just one of those '90s movies, and I think you'd still put that up to any comedy today, and it'll kick the socks off any of them. So
it will, and it's probably one that couldn't be made today.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yep. But So first time watch for Zach next week. Friday should be fun. Friday on a Sunday. Also, I just realized it's Easter Sunday next week. So is a 6 p.m. start time still good with everybody?
That's fine with me. I ain't got nothing to do on Easter.
Yep.
I ain't got nothing to do but to talk Friday with you good people. So other than that, yeah, and next Wednesday, join us for another episode of Sports Breakers. Wednesday will be huge. We'll be talking about the Sweet 16 and the NCAA Men's Tournament. We'll also be talking about some Raw results, NXT results, and an AEW Dynamite preview. Also some big trades in the NFL. So next Wednesday, that's Wednesday the 27th. And then next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we'll talk all about Friday on Easter Sunday.
Stoner Classic.
There we go. But other than that, guys, anybody else want to add anything to Patch Adams before we skedoodle?
No. I said enough.
Go check it out. I had a hard time finding where this one could stream, but you can rent it on Vudu, YouTube TV, and Amazon Prime for just $3.99. So go check it out. Robin Williams, Patch Adams, what we talked about today. If you want to watch and follow us, what we're watching, as you guys do mostly every week, Friday, I believe, is streaming on Max. So go check it out.
It's on. You can watch it free on Tubi and Sling TV. So
Friday?
Yep.
So go check it out. That's what we're talking about next week. Episode 290 next week on an all-new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Last episode of March. Next week, guys. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.